What's up, Grizz Nation and Draft Heads? Like we get some people that are not necessarily Grizzlies fans this time of year because we dive into draft coverage. So I don't know. I got to change the entrance. I'll work on that. The intro. I will work on that for the next episode. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. I'm David. He is Isaac. The 2023 NBA draft lottery happened last night. So we're going to lead off talking about the top five picks and kind of who we think is going to go where. We're not going to dive super far into that. We've got a lineup of five guys that we're going to talk about, new prospects to break down. But Isaac, we know that San Antonio is one, Charlotte is two, Portland is three, Houston is four, Detroit is five. So lead us off, man. What do you think? What do you think one through five is going to look like?
Yeah, man. At the top pick, I just had a feeling the entire time, like even going back early in the season, it just felt like Victor Wembanyama would end up in San Antonio, and that's exactly what we got. For him to end up in San Antonio, I mean, they seem to have that European connection for years, and it just makes a lot of sense. And I think Pop kind of hung around hoping that he would find himself in a situation just like this, man. And so I think he's going to coach at least a few more years to kind of try to get this thing started in San Antonio. I think it's a great fit, but a lot of Grizzlies fans were kind of upset that San Antonio ended up with the number one pick. And I wasn't really upset. I kind of felt like I would have rather for San Antonio to get number one pick than say Houston. Cause you had Victor Wembanyama to Houston, and they really got something cooking down there with Ime. Cause even though the transgressions and stuff that happened in Boston, I think he's a hell of a basketball coach. And I think he's going to really help that team. I think he's going to bring more discipline. I think they're going to be better defensively, and that would have been a big-time pickup for them. I think they would have been a real threat to make the playoffs if you had them. And I think even without adding them, they still have a top-five pick. I think they're going to be on the upward swing. But with San Antonio, I think they're farther away than Victor Wembanyama. I think they still need more pieces. I still don't believe they're a playoff team next year, even with him. I think they're farther away than some other teams would have been if you had them. So I'm not super worried. I know it's in the division. I would have rather for him to go in the East, but I'm not super worried about that. But not any drama with the number one pick. San Antonio will be taking Victor Wembanyama number one. But the drama kind of starts at pick number two with Charlotte. You have LaMelo Ball already there, and the consensus kind of number two pick is Scoot Henderson from G League Ignite, a guy who I don't necessarily think he's going to have the career that Victor Wembanyama has if he stays healthy, but I think he's right there. I think he's a generational type talent, could have like a Ja Morant type impact on whatever team that he goes to. And like I said, you already have LaMelo Ball there, and I'm going to ask, if for me, Scoot is so good. Like I said, I think he's a generational talent. I think Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, I think even though Brandon Miller is a really good player, I draw a line under Scoot Henderson. I think those two guys are on a different tier, different plane than the rest of the guys here at the top five. I think I still, if I'm Charlotte, I still take Scoot Henderson and just find a way to make that work. I know people would say Brandon Miller is a better fit, but I just don't know if I could pass on Scoot Henderson. What are your thoughts on that, David?
I agree with you in that aspect of it. The general manager for the Hornets has kind of said, oh, well, we're in a position where we can, you know, go fit more than best player. And maybe that's foreshadowing that they're looking at going Brandon Miller. But I think the talent separation between the two, I just don't – it's going to be a mistake. If Charlotte takes anybody other than Scoot Henderson number two, I think 5, 6, 7 years down the road, it's going to be an easy, oh, my God, what were they thinking? And, you know, you can try to rationalize, oh, well, this guy fits better. You know, they got LaMelo, da-da-da-da. You're playing LaMelo and Terry Rozier side by side. And Scoot is not the shooter that Rozier is. But – LaMelo's still young. The core of that team is young. Have your like lock up LaMelo and Scoot, and you know your guards are good. Like you don't have to worry about your guard position at that point. I like Brandon Miller a lot, but to me I've said on Twitter and I'll say it on here, I'm not scared to say this. I like Scoot
almost. Yeah, I know you're way out on.
Like, yeah, like I like Scoot almost to the point that I would consider taking Scoot over Wibanyama. And I know what tools Wibanyama has. I've watched video on him. I've watched a ton. You know, you could watch him. They were the NBA app. They were streaming his game. So, you know, I've watched him play and I know what the possibilities. I know why everybody's like, okay, this is a guy that could be a, you know, top X player ever in the league. But I think that Scoot Henderson can be that as well, man. Like he, at his age, the way that he manipulates the pick and roll, his body maturity already at this age, there's a lot of things that he has that I think are going to easily translate to the next level. And that, to me, that's just a good pairing. You know, is LaMelo going to be okay playing off the ball? Is Scoot going to be okay playing off the ball? There's a lot of stuff that you have to work out with that. But to me, when your team is that far away, you take the best talent and figure the rest out later. You don't worry about fit because fit can often backfire. You know, we can go on and on about the people that were drafted in front of, you know, I mean, SGA went 11th in his draft. And, you know, like headed into that draft, was he that type of talent? No, probably not. But, you know, there are a lot of players that get drafted for fit instead of best player available. And there's a lot of times that does not work out.
Yeah, man, I'm sure Michael Jordan was hoping those ping pong balls fell his way. He's in the process of possibly selling the team right now, and getting Wembanyama would have definitely raised the ceiling and raised the price on that team. But I'm right there with you. I'm not still so far down the line that I would take Scoot Henderson or Wembanyama, but I think he's right there. And Charlotte is a team that's so far away, man. They just need talent. And when you're in that position, in the talent acquisition part of your rebuild process, you need to take the best available player. And I think, like I said, I think Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, I think you draw a line, and that's not being negative about Brandon Miller or anything. I love Brandon Miller as a prospect. I just think those two guys, potential and upside, are just on a different level than the rest of the guys on the draft. So if I'm Charlotte, I take Scoot Henderson. And if things really get interesting at number three with Portland, there's a lot of talk out there already that the Blazers are talking with Toronto as possibly moving that pick, possibly for OG Anunoby or Pascal Siakam. And that makes it interesting because I think Portland would probably rather for Charlotte to take Brandon Miller. So it leaves Scoot Henderson for them, because I think they're going to be in the market for a point guard, because it looks like Fred VanVleet is probably on the way out of there as well. So they're probably going to be in the market for a point guard. And Brandon Miller is a forward, and they already have, whichever one of those guys they keep, if they have OG Anunoby or Pascal Siakam, or if they still have both of those guys, I don't know. If they make the trade, they're probably moving one of those guys, but he's not the best fit. So I'm probably sure they'd probably, obviously we've talked about, we'd rather have Scoot Henderson than Brandon Miller. I'm sure they probably would too under that scenario. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. But if I'm Portland and they're standing at that pick, which doesn't make any sense to me because the situation and timeline with Dame getting older, I just don't know if you want to get younger as a team. You need to be making moves, I think, to bring in veterans if you're going to keep that together, which I think they should blow it up personally. But they've just been stubborn over the years. Dame has been stubborn about it, and the organization has been stubborn about being real about the situation and being in a rebuild. In that scenario, if Charlotte goes Scoot Henderson, I think if I'm them, I'd probably just take Brandon Miller. I just don't. I think Dame eventually is going to end up being moved or asking out. I just think that's where it's going. In that scenario, you have a good young piece in Brandon Miller to build around. I know you could have a veteran in OG Anunoby or something like that, but I think I'd take my chances with Brandon Miller if I was them. Number four in Houston, I think a perfect fit for them, and I think it lines up perfectly for them. I'm Ben Thompson. You already have a smaller guard in Jalen Green at 6'4". You bring in a 6'7 point guard. I mean, I think that's a perfect match. I think that really sets them ahead. I think they were already kind of in a position to take a leap forward, especially I think Ime Udoka is going to be a really good coach for them. And adding Amen Thompson next to Jalen Green, that's going to be a pairing to be reckoned with for years to come. That's something the Grizzlies got to deal with in that division, man. That's not necessarily something that I would like to see, but I think that's good for the Rockets. I think it's really good 5 men. I think that's a perfect fit, because bringing in a smaller point guard when your shooting guard is 6'4" is not really what you want, and him being 6'7", I just think that's a perfect match. And at 5 with Detroit, if I'm them, I think I'd take Ausar Thompson. I think they kind of get move him into that small four position along with Kay Cunningham and Jaden Ivey. And I think that'd be a really good fit there. So that's kind of how I'd round out my top 5. But it's going to be interesting there with 2 and 3. See what Charlotte does there, whether they go Scoot, whether they go Brandon Miller, and see if Portland really moves off that third pick.
Yeah, there's talks about it already. So I think that, you know, it's probably a pretty safe bet that they're going to move off of that pick. But I think it depends, right? Like, it depends on where that pick ends up. Like who gets it? Like, if it is Toronto and Freddie Van Vliet is gone, then are they going to look at Amen Thompson? Like, if Scoot is gone and Toronto ends up with 3, is Toronto looking at Amen Thompson over Brandon Miller?
Yeah, that's a really interesting. Would they take Amen Thompson over Brandon Miller? That's a interesting, because Brandon Miller is kind of that consensus third guy. But, I mean, mm-hmm. like you said, when you're a team, man, you take the guy that you like. I mean, they don't always go on what the consensus is, because there have been times where the consensus has been a mistake. I mean, Hasheem Thabeet was the consensus number 2 pick, and we saw how that worked out. So, man, if you like a guy, man, take him. And I think our man's going to be a hell of a player, too. I think he's a little bit behind Scoot as far as poor guard's concerned. There's still some things he needs to work on as far as jump shot and stuff like that. But if they move off of Van Vliet, and it is to Toronto, I definitely think he'd be a good fit there. But it'd be hard to pass on Brandon Miller, though, but we'll see.
Yeah, so my top 5 is essentially, like, it's pretty close to what you have. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with that trade, so I'm just going to base it off of if Portland's making that pick. So I'd have Victor 1, Scoot 2, Miller 3, Amen Thompson. You talked about the fit in Houston. That'd be perfect. They need a true point guard. He would be really, really good. And because of the type of coach that Ime Udoka is, I think that what he brings defensively would be, like, almost, that would be like a hand in a glove type fit.
Yeah, man, it's just perfect. Coach.
I think 5 is really where, you know, the trade for 3 is going to kind of make it interesting.
Yeah.
But 5 is really where it opens up, because you look at, you know, like we're going to talk about Jairus Walker. He's 19 years old. He's a guy that could easily go 5. Amen Thompson's brother is Sora that we talked about. He could go 5. Cam Whitmore out of Villanova has unbelievable tools. I think that he's going to be an impact player in the league from day one. And then, like, a little bit, he's a little bit farther down the board, but Taylor Hendricks from UCF, 6'9", 4".
Yeah, I really, really love him.
Like,
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. It would not surprise me to see Detroit go after somebody like that. Like, the Detroit's core is young. You're talking about Cade. You have Cade, Ivy. They traded for oh my goodness, dude, I know his name, and it just
James Wiseman.
They traded for Wiseman. They got Jalen Duren. You know, they've got some good young pieces there, and so your guards are good, your bigs are good. Get you a forward to plug in the middle there, and Taylor Hendricks, you can definitely make an argument for him. You know, depending on where you're at, I really, when we were talking about the Thompson's brothers, I like Ausar because of his ability to shoot, and he's going to have guys in Ivy and Kay that can get him the ball. He's already going to be a plus defender, so I think that would be a good fit in Detroit.
Yeah, that's who I have.
I think
he'd be a great fit there at the small forward position.
I think you have – there are at least, I would say, 4 to 5 guys after pick number 4 to, like – assuming that the top 4 go Victor, Scoot, Miller, and Amen Thompson, at 5, there's 4 to 5 guys that could legitimately go 5, and it wouldn't be a stretch by any means.
Yeah, and you bring up Taylor Hendricks. That's interesting, because he's a guy that I really like. I've seen a lot of him covering Memphis and being there in American. Great size, man. Got a lot of shooting upside. Anytime you have a guy that would shooting upside at that height, I mean, you have to take a look at that. And I definitely think he would be a good fit there in Detroit. So, like you said, man, a lot of guys, man, they just need afford to kind of complete that lineup. Because, I mean, they're super talented, super young, super talented, and a lot of guys with a lot of room to grow. That team could be scary two, three, four years down the line. Yeah, I think they're just kind of missing that piece there at the three. And any of those guys, I think, would fill in really well there.
So let's jump into somebody that the Grizzlies have worked out, and we'll lead off our first prospect of the night, Lamont Butler, 6'2" guard out of San Diego State. If you didn't know him before the NCAA tournament, and you watched the NCAA tournament, you know who he is. He is the guy that hit the buzzer beater to send San Diego State to the championship game over FAU. And so I'm digging through, I'm watching. I had not really dug into him any at all prior to the tournament. And I've always said, I saw somebody talking about Brandon Miller and how bad he played in the tournament. And they're like, how can you take him at three when he played that bad in the tournament? It's like, yeah, that's a small sample size. Yeah.
Tournament overreactions, man. That's always the thing that people get into.
And so, you know, like, I don't know that Butler is the guy that they're looking at 25. You know, he's not projected anywhere near the first round. But he's got a lot of tools for a team that needs a backup point guard. Not that you want to have to pay somebody like the Grizzlies are paying Tyus right now. This is a guy that can step in and fill that role. He's a guy that can score off of the bench. 6'2" is going to kind of limit him a little bit defensively. He's not going to be super versatile, but he's got a really good mid-range game. I like – so when he's matched up against a guard, when I was watching the film, the first thing I wrote down, I'm like, man, he finishes well through contact as well. But it depends on the size of the defender. If he's matched up against a guard or somebody around his size – he can use his body and finish through contact, but if you get length on him, he struggles. And so that's something that he's going to have to work on if he wants to be effective at the next level. I like the way he moves without the ball. I don't know, man. What do they got? I know they have 25. What's the next one? Is it?
Somewhere in the 40s, 40. Or I want to say 43.
45 from Minnesota.
45 and 56.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that late in the draft, you're just, you know, you're taking a chance on a guy that has he's made more than one last second shot this year. Yeah. He made one in their conference tournament. Yeah. And so guys that have the clutch gene, that's a good thing to have. Guys that can handle the pressure and play under pressure, that's a huge plus. So he's definitely not somebody I would shy away from, but I just don't know, you know, with them working him out, like, okay, what pick are we talking about? Where are they looking at him?
Yeah, most of the guys they're working out now, I think they're just kind of doing their due diligence. They're probably having some workouts of bigger guys that they probably don't even announce. You a lot of times early you'll see teams, they're working out a lot of guys that are not even showing up on draft boards, and that's kind of what we're seeing here. I don't know if I've seen him on any boards that I've looked at, but yeah, man, 6'2", 200 pounds. I think he's more of a combo than a pure point. Out of surprise in San Diego State, I don't think anybody expected to see them make a run to the national championship game. Hit a big shot against FAU to put them in that game. Had 13 points, went 3-for-7 from three in that championship game. Like I said, I think he's more of an undersized two. I think there's some positive there because this team is looking. We've seen them play Ja and Tyus together, so you definitely could play Ja and Lamont Butler together if Tyus is not there. So he's a guy that you could put on the floor and try to steal some minutes with Ja on the floor. So he can be a primary ball handler. You could put him on the ball, put Ja on the ball, and vice versa at times. He has some good vision. I saw some court vision and passing upside from him on film. I think that's definitely there. You just don't want him to have to be a primary point guard because he did average 2 turnovers a game. To 3.2 assists, so that's not a fantastic ratio. But I saw some pretty nice passes that he made. He's a much better mid range shooter than he's a three point shooter right now. He shot 34.2% from three on three attempts per game, but 40 of 117 overall. So a pretty good sample size. I think there's probably some upside there. I mean, 34% is not great, but he shot a pretty good volume. He got 117 up on the season and hit 40 of them. So I think if he continues to work on that shot, I think he's a guy that can will definitely be a capable three-point shooter if he makes it to the next level. So he does, like you said, man, he doesn't shy away from the big moment. Hit two big shots in the NCAA tournament, even going back to the season, hit one, like you said, in the conference tournament, and he hit some in the regular season as well. Not necessarily game winners, but big-time shots late in games, big-time plays late in games. As you said, finishes through contact really well. I mean, he's an interesting prospect. I know why the Grizzlies kind of brought him in. The Grizzlies sort of definitely have a type. A lot of times, especially when they look at under Harold guys that may not get all the accolades, but they see something in them in a certain place that they can fit on this roster. And I think that's the same thing, same thing with Slauson. Some guys that might have some shortcomings, guys that other teams might not be looking at, and they see something different in them, and they're not scared to go after those guys. So in the second round, maybe even undrafted free agent, you're going to have three two-way spots this year. So looking at these guys could definitely pay dividends, even on the undrafted free agent market. If these guys end up not getting picked, he's a guy that I would definitely have some interest in, because they're going to need point. I mean, you let Kennedy Chandler go. We don't know what's necessarily going to happen with Tyus Jones, whether they're going to move him, the John Morant situation going on. So point guard is definitely a position of interest. And I definitely think he's a guy like a combo that could, if he had to in a pinch, come in and play some minutes, maybe even alongside John Morant. So a pretty good prospect, man. I saw some good things on film. Not a guy that had big numbers. I think only averaged like 8 or 9 points a game, but gritty. I think he's a really good, pretty good defender too. Pretty good on-ball defender. He works pretty hard on that end. So I like what I saw on tape, man. I don't know if he's a guy that projects as a big-time offensive player on an NBA level. I think his biggest potential is probably on the defensive end. I think that's probably where he translates. So, man, interesting prospect. We're interested to see if he actually gets drafted or if he ends up on undrafted free agent market. But he's someone that I understand why the Grizzlies would have interest in. If they picked him up, I don't think I'd be mad at that.
Yeah, there's something to be said about guys that know how to win. And, you know, playing on that San Diego State team, a team that, you know, they were a 5 seed. Like you said, nobody expected them to – Maybe they did. Nobody outside of that locker room expected them to make a deep run in that tournament. So, you know, I think you learn a lot, even at the collegiate level, playing in games at the level that he played. And I said the clutch gene, not everybody has it, man. Not everybody wants the ball at the end of the game. Not everybody can handle that type of pressure. And so to me, seeing him knock down those shots shows me that he's wired a little bit different, and that's what it takes at times. You know, the guys that kind of live outside the box that are going to work or not be scared to work to push themselves to get to the next level. So yeah, I agree. I can see why they worked him out. I don't have an issue if this is a guy that they take a look at. Just, man, They need spacing, right? Like they need guys that can knock down the shot. And even on the 34% from three, you go and you watch film on this kid, and you can see multiple times where he's taking guys off the dribble, hitting a step back.
Yeah, his shot is not moving bad at all.
Yeah, like there's a couple guys that we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the show. Shot mechanics wise, when you're watching him shoot, when you're watching Butler shoot, man, very, very smooth. It's a repeatable form. It's not something that has a whole lot of movement in it. So I think that like he will, if he gets a run in the NBA, I think that he will be a decent 3-point shooter. And that's something, you know, we saw the difference that Kennard made for the Grizzlies when he was on the floor. They need more of that. You know, they went and got David Roddy in hopes that he would be that later in the season, that, you know, he kind of showed up a little bit. Conchar fell off the face of the earth whenever it comes to shooting. So you have to, obviously we would love to see them get veterans, but when you have a team with a core like this, you're going to have to be smart about the guys that you're drafting, because to create sustainability, you have to be smart about the players that you're putting around them. And that's what it's going to take, is finding guys that you can mold into the type of players that you need to plug in around this core.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, especially with those three two-way spots. you let Kennedy Chandler go. He could be fill that spot if they decide not to bring Kennedy Chandler back. That's a possibility of something that could go down. I do want to send a shout out to his dad, Lamont Butler Sr. He actually followed me and he liked my advertisement for today's podcast. So he might be tuning in, man. So shout out to Lamont Butler Sr. Definitely wouldn't mind seeing you guys here in Memphis, man. I like what I saw on tape. And again, man, he's a guy, well, like you talked about, he can create his own shot. And that's definitely something that you always look at when you're talking about guys. Can they create their own shot? That's always a plus when you take it to the next level. So, again, man, like what I saw. Again, hit big-time shots. He's done that throughout his time at San Diego State. So, man, good player, man, and the best of luck to him. And if he ends up in here at Memphis, man, I definitely wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah. So, man, let's toss it. I'll leave it up to you. We got there. We're talking about Dillon Mitchell, G.G. Jackson, Keontae George, and then your buddy from Houston, Jairus Walker.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Jairus Walker, that's for sure. Yeah, but let's go with Dillon Mitchell, man. 6'7", 200-pound freshman, small forward out of Texas. Interesting freshman season, man. He came in with a lot of accolades about a Montverde High School Academy down in Florida. But no, not a lot of production. This is pretty much all rooted in potential with him. Only averaged 4.3 points, 4 rebounds, 17 minutes a game. Did not even attempt a three-point shot the entire season and only shot 41% from the free throw line on 37 attempts. So the numbers don't look good at all. But if you're paying attention to what's going on out at the combine, he's had a really good combine. Like, if you talk to some of the people that's out there, he's near the top of the list of guys that they said that impressed them in the scrimmages. Shot the basketball really well, shot the cover off the ball, and that's something that he's never really done. Like I said, didn't even take an attempt at Texas this past season, and he's hitting mid-ranges, hitting from three. Shot looked really smooth. I watched the video of him at the combine, and then he's really knocking down shots. So, but there's definitely some upside there, it looks like, that people – weren't expected. But the biggest thing for him is definitely when you watch him, the athleticism. I mean, just an absolute freak athlete above the rim. I mean, just goes to the rim, finishes with authority. He's a lottery ticket for whatever team takes it. I mean, there's a lot of upside. I think he has potential as a slasher, but I think one thing that has shown through outside of the offense is on the defensive end. I think he has elite potential on the defensive end. He kind of reminds me of Aaron Gordon, maybe a couple inches shorter, but that's kind of what I see on tape, a guy that's not a great shooter. But Aaron Gordon made himself a much better shooter because he can knock down a three every now and then now and get hit a mid-range shot. At first, when he first came in the league, pretty much all athleticism, all dunks. And that's kind of what I see from Dillon Mitchell, is a guy that will come into the league. He'll be able to finish at the rim. I think he'll be able to guard from day one because I think defensively – I think he has elite potential for a guy his size. I think he'll be a shot blocker. I just think that offensive game, man, is just the big question mark because it's almost non-existent right now. Even in high school, he only averaged about 11 points a game, I think, on his senior year at Montverde. But it's potential, and he's a guy that I think Tankathon has him. He's a mid to bottom of the second round, but there are a lot of people down that think that he could end up at the bottom of the first round. Just by what he's done at the combine, because the athleticism jumps off the tape. If he gets in a workout, people are going to love his athleticism. And again, I think defensive end, at least initially, is something that will translate immediately. He just got to find an offensive game. But watching him shoot, man, his shot doesn't look broken at all. I mean, he looks super smooth pulling up off the dribble and with the set shot on a video I saw from the combine. So there's a lot of potential there. And like I said, the draft is basically rooted in potential. I mean, you'll see guys that are juniors and seniors that average 24, 25 points a game, and they're going in the second round, and you'll have a guy in the lottery that averaged 9 points a game. So these GMs love potential, man. They love room to grow, and I think Dillon Mitchell is a boom or bust prospect. I think he's a guy that you could take him at the bottom of the first round, and he ends up being one of the better players in his draft long-term because he has a high ceiling that he could grow into, especially on the offensive end. But defensively, I think he's going to be a really good player. If he gets that jump shot down, I think, man, he could be a big-time player, much bigger than where he ends up getting drafted.
Yeah, one of the first things that I wrote down when I was watching film on this kid, you look at the numbers, 3.9 rebounds a game. The first thing I wrote down was great rebounder. He has an eye for going to get the ball, and his motor is unbelievable.
Yeah, the motor's like super high.
He was only playing 17 minutes a game, so I'm a little bit skittish. I'm like, okay, 17 minutes a game, maybe he was just out there going 100 miles an hour because he knew he was going to be in limited minutes. But I like, even in those limited minutes, man, like you see so many times this dude is out of position and finds a way to rebound the basketball. And
yeah,
it was time and time and time again. And that's something, you know, you can be an elite defensive team, but if you don't rebound the ball well, doesn't matter. Like, you have to rebound the ball in order to end the, you know, like to end the defensive possession. And he's a guy I think could be a rim protector. And then if he doesn't block the shot, alters it, go and get the rebound in the possession. That there's a lot of good movement from him without the ball. I like his handle. Obviously, you would probably need to tighten it up a little bit at the next level. But for where you're going to have this kid playing, I think that is a skill that he would use. Like, he could grab the rebound, run the break. Let's see. I'm trying to read my notes while I'm talking here, and I about started saying what I was reading. I'm stumbling.
Yeah, that's what kind of happened to me last episode, man. I was trying to look down at my notes, getting a little messed up there. But he's, yeah. I mean, his motor is off the charts. He's a guy that strikes me as a guy that's going to work to get better. That's the positive that I take out of it. I don't have any doubts. I think that offensive game, because his shot's not broken. I mean, you watch his shot. I mean, I looked at that video. I'm like, man, this dude didn't even attempt a three in Texas. I couldn't believe that when I read that stat. I was like, man, I can't believe that he didn't even shoot a three, man. Did not shoot a three at Texas. But he's a really good rebounder. Four rebounds in 17 minutes. That's pretty good for a guy that's not a four, not necessarily a 4-5. So there's a lot of potential there. And again, man, there's a lot of people, a lot of scouts and a lot of draft guys are saying that they think that he could possibly sneak into the bottom of the first round now, where he was down in the 50s on most mock drafts. I think Tankathon might still have him around 52, 53. So I think there's a team that might take a chance on him, especially a young team that's not really looking for someone to come in and contribute right away. He's a player that I think 2 or 3 years down the line, again, could vastly outplay their draft position. And he has, I think, tools that fit some of these guys in the lottery. It's just not built into production yet. You just need to see it from him. But there's a lot to like when you watch him on film. Like you said, high motor, high energy, just has to turn it into production.
Yeah, and I was trying to see if I could find his mid-range stats while we were talking here, and I didn't get to him. But when you're watching him, I wrote down he has ability to score off the bounce. And so, yeah, he didn't take the threes, or he didn't have three-point attempts. But there's plenty of films showing this kid taking his defender off of the bounce. And so who do you match up against him? At 6'8", and like with his length, he's going to be kind of a mismatch for certain people. Like, if you put a big on him, he's going to be too quick for them. If you put somebody that's smaller than him, he's going to be stronger than him.
Yeah.
So it's, I like him quite a bit. There's definitely some things that he needs to work on. The 40% free throw percentage is scary as hell.
That's
like, man, it, like, okay, is there any hope that this form is going to come around and he's going to
he only shot 37, but still, man, that's pretty rough, man.
40% is brutal. That's like that's like big man bad.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, while he is a good rebounder, I don't know that he's going to put up, you know, elite enough stats in order to keep him on the floor shooting the ball that bad from the free throw line.
Yeah, you can't be at 40%, man. Especially not a small forward as a forward, man. You can't be shooting 40%. I don't know what happened there. Like I said, I didn't watch him a lot at Texas last year. I saw him in high school, and he was a big-time high school prospect, and he just kind of disappointed. I mean, he was expected to be – I mean, there was one time where he was projected to be like a top-five pick at one point in the NBA, and that year at Texas kind of shot all those down. But when he was in high school, he was expected to be a lottery-type guy. So that people see that talent in him, he just has to get it out of him. And for some reason at Texas – production just wasn't there. And like you said, only played 17 minutes per game. But I think there's a lot of upside there. If you're looking for a guy that you're willing to take a risk on, a guy that has a lot of upside, he's that guy. And you hope he doesn't go the route of what we've seen kind of from our guy, Zaire Williams. I haven't given up on him. I still think there's a chance there, but it's kind of the same thing. A guy that didn't have a lot of production in college, but you think there's more that you can get out of him. I think this is a kind of a similar situation. He's not going to go top 10, though. That's kind of what happened with Zaire. But I think there's a lot of room for him to grow, and he could really pay off for you. Again, like I said, it's a lottery ticket.
Yeah, size, length, ability to handle the ball. Scotty Barnes is a guy that kind of comes to mind.
Yeah,
you know, says
yeah.
Scotty didn't have great college numbers. Gets to Toronto, works on his game, develops, you know, has a fantastic rookie season, and he's been a good player from day one, yeah, pretty much.
Definitely
so.
improved his shooting, and that's something that Dylan needs to do. Like you said, size-wise, kind of strong, both of those guys. I can definitely see that comparison.
Yeah, so let's go with Keyonte George, 6'4" inch guard out of Baylor next. He was 34% on 6-plus attempts from three this year. He's much better catch and shoot than off of the bounce.
Yeah.
I would say maybe even elite catch and shoot 3-point shooter. And the thing about him, like at his size, I was thinking, okay, this kid's going to be crazy athletic. Like I'm going to see some stupid bounce, but there's not a ton of athleticism. And I don't mean that like he's athletic enough, but that's not when you're looking at strengths. That's going to be pretty far down on the list.
Yeah, he's not going to talk on anybody or anything like that. But
yeah, but his skill, man, like you can tell that he's put in work because the things that he does on the floor, there's a lot of people that play this game that can't do it. And that's, you know, elite passer out of the pick and roll. That there, I watch him destroy defenses on film out of the pick and roll. I'm not going to say he's not a guy that is Scoot level good out of the pick and roll. But it wouldn't surprise me. I'd say he's probably top two, top three.
Yeah.
You know, like operating the pick and roll coming
out.
Yeah,
he's gonna kill you if you play and drop. I mean, yeah. He's like you said, he's not Scoot, but he's pretty high. Like if he's not the best in this draft, if Scoot's the best, he's probably second as far as guards go. He's gonna kill teams if they play drop on him.
Yeah, I like. The thing, he is a better shooter than Scoot right now. Like Scoot's mid-range is good. From the three, he's not great. And Keyonte can shoot the ball very well. He's a three-level scorer. He's got a super quick release, so he doesn't need a whole lot of space to get that shot off. I think the only thing that's keeping this kid from going up the board is the fact that he's 6'4" instead of 6'7".
Yep. That's it. So,
and 6'4" is not small. 6'4" is not small.
Yeah, but I wrote down discount Klay Thompson. And that's not any disrespect to him. I know he's a little smaller at 6'4". Like you said, if he was 6'6", 6'7", we'd be talking about a top five, top six pick as far as talent. I was kind of surprised that 3-point number was only 34%, because when you watch him on film, I know those are highlights, a lot of it, but feels like he would be a higher percentage than that. It was 77 of 228 overall. So he got him up, man. That's a super high volume. Shot 228 threes, like you said, three-level score. Really, really good self-creator. He can create his own shot. Has a really, really nice release on that shot. I think he has elite potential as a pull-up shooter. That's kind of said, that's why he kind of reminds me of Klay Thompson, that quick release. Does a lot on the move. Shoots the basketball really well on the move. Moves really well without the ball. For a guy his size, man, you wouldn't think this, but he likes to initiate contact and finish at the rim. Like he doesn't shy away from contact when he's going to the basket. And he kind of also, man, it fits that Golden State mold, because he's a guy that embellishes a lot and draws fouls. He's going to fit in the NBA game because he already kind of has that down to a science as far as the kind of stuff that you see Steph and Klay do, embellish when they shoot threes and kind of initiate contact and get those calls. He's definitely going to be able to do that on the next level. Has a little runner in his bag that I like. Can score with both hands, but he's probably better going left. But he can score with both hands. And he's deadly in the catch and shoot, like you said earlier. I mean, he's really good. I mean, he's like I said, if he was six, if he was six, wasn't 6'4", was 6'6", 6'7", I think we're talking a top five, six player in this draft. I don't think there's any question about it. I think he has some potential as a pick and roll facilitator. It's really, really good passing in the pick and roll game. Like I said earlier, he's going to be elite. I think if teams play drop coverage on him, he's going to kill him with that pull-up ability. I mean, he also has a job. He does a good job of passing the cutters when teams play drop as well. So I really love his offensive game. Out of the guys that we're talking about today, I probably like his tape probably the best out of any of the guys that we're going to talk about. He's definitely top two. He's definitely top two. He's definitely top two.
Out of the guys you're talking about today? Okay. Yeah. All right.
But some negatives. I mean, he can get dribble happy. I mean, and try to do too much and turn the basketball over. He'll get tunnel vision sometime and try to force some stuff. Teams kind of sit on his drive sometime because he's not a guy that passes the ball a lot. So he has a score first mentality, and teams know that. So they kind of sit on his drives a lot, and sometimes he'll try to force it in there anyway and get in trouble and end up turning the basketball over. So he doesn't read the defenses really well. He will make some bad passes. I saw several times where he made some passes, and I'm scratching my head like, I don't know what you were looking at there. He doesn't necessarily move his feet well in one-on-one situations, in ISOs. But outside of that, man, his offensive game is – I mean, I think he's going to be an elite shooter, elite pull-up shooter. And again, man, Klay Thompson is the name that I know that's very high praise, man. But I think if he reaches his ceiling, he can be that kind of shooter. Never going to be 6'6", 6'7", but I think he's going to be a guy that can really score in this league. I just think some of those things I said about as far as him being able to move and shoot on the move without the basketball, being able to shoot and draw fouls, I just think he's going to be a really, really good player on the next level. I think he's going to fit in really well, and team's going to love him, man. Whoever drafts him, man, they're lucky, because I think they're going to have a guy that can really shoot the basketball. I don't know if he'll ever be a plus defender. I think he'll be adequate, but his shooting ability, I think, is the reason why you take him, man. So I like what I saw from him a lot.
Yeah, the only point that I didn't make that I've written down here, I was kind of going back through my notes. Really good, tough shot maker. And that can be scary. It's like, okay, why is he taking so many tough shots? Is it because he's making poor decisions? Maybe you can contribute some of it to that. But I mean, having the ability, like if you get the ball late in the shot clock, you're going to have to make a tough shot. Like I said earlier, the quick release kind of plays into that because he doesn't need much time or space.
Oh, no, he doesn't need space at all.
Yeah, and so that was the only thing that I had written down that we hadn't talked about yet. So we're down to the final two that we're going to talk about today. You want to go to Gigi next, or you want to go to your boy from Houston?
Yeah, well, we'll say the best for last. I said that George was the best, but a foreshadow when I think our last guy is probably the best. I love both of them. I love both of them as prospects. But let's go with G.G. Jackson, man, 6'9", 215-pound freshman power forward out of South Carolina, 18 years old, 15.6 rebounds, 32.4% from three, 55 of 170 overall. And he's kind of a blessing and a curse. Like, I watched South Carolina multiple times this year, and when I was going through film tonight, I tweeted out that I liked him a lot more than I thought I did. And offensively, some of the things in his offensive game I did when I started watching film tonight on him, I liked it a lot more than kind of what I had seen live when I was watching him. But the more that you watch him, if you flip over to the defensive side, man, it is not pretty at all on the defensive end. But start with the positives, man. ISO scoring. And, man, when it comes to ISO scoring, man, he doesn't have a bag. He has a suitcase of moves when it comes to breaking down his defender, man. And I'm definitely not saying that he's going to be this at all, because he definitely has some big-time deficiencies, and we're talking about a Hall of Famer. But some of the moves that he makes in the high release on his shot, it kind of reminds you some of the same stuff that KD does. And please don't say that I'm thinking that he's going to be KD. I'm not saying it at all, but that kind of dribble, step back, pull up, and that high release on his shot, that turnaround fadeaway, some of the same stuff that you see KD do. He can get by his man and get to the hoop, and he can finish with ease of hand. Probably best when on the catch and shoot. He's not as good off the bounce. He can score off the bounce, but he's better at catch and shoot. Has potential as a slasher. I think not a big time athlete, but definitely good enough. I think one first thing that jumps off to you negatively is the shot selection. And I think some of that probably has to do with South Carolina really didn't have anything else. I mean, that was a bad basketball team, and he was their guy. Pretty much everything ran through him. One stat that's crazy that you look at for him, I think he averaged, I didn't even write it down, a significant amount of minutes. He didn't even average an assist per game. Like, he was their major high-use player, and he only averaged 0.8 assists per game. That's something that really stood out to me. Like, he ain't passing the ball.
It's all about GG, baby.
It's all about Gigi. That's the negative when it comes to his offense, man. He gets tunnel vision and just tries to take go one on three and force it. He runs into double teams and turns the basketball over. I think he has really, really good potential as an ISO scorer. And I think maybe if he gets into the NBA, maybe some of that tunnel vision goes away because he's not in that same role. I mean, we kind of talk about a guy in Dylan Brooks that we've kind of seen some of the same stuff from. So you don't want a guy that won't concede to a role. Like, when you're not making shots, you don't want to see guys continue to shoot. And we saw that with GG at South Carolina. Like, you just hope that's just kind of him being a man, and he had to take those shots because nobody else was going to take them. But when you switch over to the defensive side, man, it is not good at all. Defensive posture is terrible. I mean, he'll give up on plays and just let guys drive right by him. He just seemed disinterested, just get lost, just ball watches. He has a bad habit of going under screens and gives up easy looks. Doesn't rotate well at all. Doesn't guard the screener or the ball handler well in a pick and roll. I mean, he is rough on defense. I mean, that's some of the worst defensive tape I probably ever watched. Like, he doesn't even put in any effort on that end. And that's a red flag, because – one big indicator to me usually was a guy is, I say a foxhole guy that you want on your side is, do they put in the effort on defense? Some guys, like Luke Kennard, for instance, he's never going to be a plus defender, but it's not because he doesn't try on that end. Like that, and that's one thing that you saw from GG. There were games where I just looked at film, and he just gave up. Like, his man just went right by him. He just put his hands down, standing straight up. No defensive posture. He just let the guy go right by him to the rim, just lazily going under screens. He doesn't put in any effort on the defensive end, and that's what turns me off from him. Like, I don't think I could take him because I don't know if he has the motor or the will to get better. He's just one of those guys, I think, that wants to put up shots, and he cares about his offense and just doesn't put much effort on the defensive end. Maybe he gets an NBA and gets with a coach that can pull that out of him, but the 1 year in South Carolina, man, that wasn't the case at all, man. He looked rough on that end. But I think ISO scoring-wise, man, he has some skills. If he could – he's not a fantastic shooter, but if he could become a really, really good shooter, work on this shot and make it more consistent, he would be hard to guard offensively. I just worry about his defense. And, again, I'm not so much worried about the shot selection because I just think that a lot of that had to do with him having to be that high-volume shooter. But the defensive end, man, is something that I don't know if he's going to improve on it end because it's just so bad.
I think you're being a little bit tough on him. It's hard to find, but there were a few games, or maybe not even games, a few possessions where I saw him, like when he was guarding on the ball, when he was actually putting effort in one-on-one defensively, I think that he could be serviceable.
And he shouldn't think about it. He should be because he has
he's got the physical and everything that went. Tools.
Yeah, the physical tools are definitely there.
But, man, like, when he is not guarding, when he's not point of attack defender, excuse me, that dude checks out, man.
Man, just like checks completely out.
He's daydreaming. I don't know. Like,
man, singing. Think about what he's going to eat after the game, man.
Like, yeah, like, this man's off in a Disney movie somewhere. So, like, there are flashes in there where he can be a defender that is serviceable with his size and length. He should be better than a serviceable defender. It's like you said, it's all about effort. And that's something if you get him matched up with the right coach, maybe they can bring it out of him. I wrote down the three-level scorer with a question mark, and I put the question mark there because he settles a lot. Like, he'll get space, or he'll get a lane where he can get downhill, and he'll settle for a pull-up jump.
Pull-up jumps, yeah. Yeah,
and then there's times I saw him get to the rim a couple times in film, and he finished fairly well, but more often than not, instead of getting completely downhill to the rim, he would just stop and pull up.
Pull up, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man. It just – I guess the Dylan Brooks effect has me worried.
Yeah,
if you can coach that out of him. Because I said it about Dylan time and time again – when a guy is in a pressure situation, he's going to revert to his comfort levels. And that for GG Jackson, I think it's easy to see that his comfort level is mid-range jumper. He does that well. He is able to tackle on the offensive end. He's got a ton, like you said, not just a bag, an entire suitcase. And when we're talking about ISO scoring and his footwork on the offensive end, is, I guess, another reason that it gives me hope on the defensive end. You talked about some of the turnaround shots that he takes. He had one. It's not just one possession, but he's got that little fallback jumper with the size and his release is high. So there was one. I'm like, look at that. Who is this man? Dirk? What was that?
I know, man. You see, he looks elite at times. Like with some of that stuff he does on the offensive end, I was like blown away. I'm like, this man, Dirk KD out here. And then you see some of the bad stuff and the bad habits and some of the stuff on defensive end. I'm like, no, maybe not. So
it's funny, man. I'm watching the film offensive end. I write down elite footwork. And then later on, I went back and put offensive end only because you don't see it on the defensive end. So guys that can get buckets like him tend to find minutes in the NBA. But if he is not an elite scorer at the NBA level, his minutes are not going to be there consistently.
No, you're just not going to be able to play him, man, with that type of effort on the defensive end. If he doesn't improve with that and he's just not big top scorer like a guy that's just a flat-out bucket getter, you're not going to be able to keep him on the floor. But as I wrote down, man, he's a blessing and a curse because you see some fantastic stuff. Like, I see some – things that with elite upside as far as ISO scoring and stuff like that. But then you look on the defensive end and some of the tunnel vision stuff and it's not so good. So he's an interesting prospect, man. He's all over draft boards. Like I've seen him early second. I've seen him bottom of the first. I've seen him mid first, bottom lottery. Like I've seen him all over the place. And I think a lot of that has to do with exactly the way we've laid this out here. Like some really good things you see. And then you also see some bad things. So he's a hard one to kind of get a handle on. I don't know. I'm not really sure what to expect out of him. The thing that I worry about is just, like I said, the effort. If he's not willing to put in the effort on the defensive end, you just kind of wonder, does he have the work ethic to kind of put into his game to get better overall? That's kind of what I worry about with him. But he's an interesting prospect.
Yeah, and some of that could have been coaching. Because, you know, him being the number one option.
I mean, that team was terrible.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that factor into this. And you know, if you follow that team more, you may know more about it. But, you know, with us getting in here, there's a lot of places that you can go and rewatch game film and watch stuff, you know, highlights and different things with him. But how much of it is coaching, we don't know. There's definitely some things to throw up red flags. But you have to be happy if you're watching him on the offensive end of the floor. There's a lot to be happy about. He's got a lot of tools whenever it comes to that. So
going to say real quick, last point on him. I think he's a workout guy. I think he's a guy that could get in a workout and really impress somebody. I think he'll really do well in that type of setting. So it'll be interesting to see where he falls. I think Tankathon has him maybe at 23 right now. So Grizzlies had a 25th pick. Like I said, even though we're talking draft here, I'm kind of on the train of kind of moving those picks to try to get vet talent, but who knows how this thing's going to play out, especially with a lot of things that are going on around the team that we're not going to get into here. But it's kind of up in the air. If I'm the Grizzlies, I think I still operate as business as usual. I think that's the best course of action, but who knows how this thing goes now.
Yeah, I've seen him kind of late lottery in a few places. And
yeah,
then,
he's all over the place.
Yeah, yep. So it's kind of a – and it's funny, man. When you go and you're reading scouting reports on these guys, certain people focus on certain things, and you can tell by, like, their notes, the stuff that they have on them. And then you go to the next guy, and they're making a point, and it's almost not the complete opposite, but it's like this other guy didn't even mention that. And so it's just funny because as a fan of basketball, we all watch basketball differently.
Yeah.
And definitely. People, when they're breaking out prospects, they all look at stuff differently. So we'll wrap it up. We've been kind of, alluding to him all throughout the show. If you are a Tigers fan, you're going to know this name. You've seen him a few times this year. Jairus Walker, 6'8" forward out of
Houston. Defensive player of the year.
Man, what's great, Houston had him playing at the five a lot, and I feel like the way this kid moves, he could play the wing.
Oh, 100%.
In the NBA, man. No like, doubt. It's like I think the film that I've watched on him, there's going to be some point guards. I think that defensively only, he will match up a lot like Dylan Brooks. Like, he can guard almost anybody. There's going to be certain guards that are going to be too fast for him to guard, and there's going to be certain bigs that are too strong for him to guard. But if he gets switched on to somebody, you're not going to be like, oh my God, he's toast, because that's not going to happen very much with him. Like I say, you said future defensive player of the year. You see him blocking shots at the rim, on the perimeter, everywhere. His timing for shot blocking, some guys are shot blockers, some guys are not. This kid is, if he was 7 foot with a big wingspan, this kid would have averaged 6 blocks a game in college, because his timing is impeccable. I like him, his ability to be a playmaker at that size. I think that he could be a really good secondary playmaker for an offense. Very, very good touch with passing. I saw him make a number of live dribble passes. I talk about that. I don't say all the time. I talk about that's something that I pay attention to, because to me, that's what separates guys from being that they can be a decent playmaker to, okay, if they can live dribble pass and do it with accuracy, then they can be a playmaker at the next level. He had, like, there were a number of times he had touch passes where they're feeding him in, and he sees his front court mate cutting to the basket, and he, like, volleyball taps it over to them and catches him in stride, and they dunk it. There's so many positives whenever it comes to him. I'm really surprised that you don't see him farther up the board. When, you know, like, I think the highest that I've seen him is 5.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I saw him at 5 on one earlier today.
And I'm just going to say this, man. You got Jalen Duren in Detroit. If you add Jairus Walker to that team, defensively down low, they're going to be stupid, man. Like, I don't know what their starting lineup's going to look like. So let's say if they went Cade, Ivy, Walker, Wiseman, and Duren, like, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough.
God, I'll let that, man, that length. I mean, you got big point guard. I mean, that would be a problem for some teams, man. They give you hell defensively, especially, man. But I felt like this all year. I don't feel like Houston used Walker properly. I feel like his usage should have been higher. Like, when they played against Memphis, I was happy that he wasn't more involved. But I don't think they got him involved enough. I think there was a lot more that they could have gotten out of him. And I think he's going to be a much better player. I think he's going to show some things even more so on the NBA level than he showed at Houston. I just don't think they got enough out of him for his talent level. I always felt like that when I watched him play. I mean, you talk about the walking definition of a modern-day kind of big combo forward. I mean, he is it. I mean, elite point of attack potential. Like I said, I think, like you said, he's definitely better to guard. I think the 2-5, there'll be some ones I think that'll be a little bit too quick. Some fives that'll be a little bit too strong. But as far as you're talking about guys that can guard all over the floor, he's definitely that. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he'll I think he can even play some small ball five at times. I think he's strong enough, depending on who you're matching up against. The versatility is just off the charts. That's what I love about him so much, because he's just a unique player. So the things that he brings to the table, moves his feet like, I'm saying, elite level feet movement as far as defensively, man. The way he can move over and recover and help side defense is just off the charts. And he shows a lot of patience and discipline, doesn't gamble a lot on defense. I mean, his IQ on the defensive end is almost impeccable. Like, when you watch film, like, he barely ever misses an assignment. Like, he's always where he needs to be. I mean, the fluidity in his movements, he's just, I mean, almost like, you hate to say a perfect defender, but a lot of the stuff that he does, man, is just right at 100% there. Like, he's just always where he needs to be. He uses his length, I think, to the maximum of his abilities. When he went on drives, he uses his length. He walls up to finish on guys in the post. Like I said, good weak side rim protector. I mean, he can, like, and you don't see a lot of guys that can do this. He can take over a game defensively. Like, there are not a lot of guys. Jaren is a guy that can do that. But you don't see a lot of guys that on the defensive end can absolutely wreck a game. And I think he's going to have that type of ability on the defensive end. He's really good on catch and shoots. When he catches the basketball, he squares up really well, sets his feet really well on catch and shoots. When he shoots off the dribble, it's not as good. But if you leave him open, he catches and shoot, man, he's usually going to knock that shot down. You have to honor that. He's a big-time prospect, man. I think he's, like I said, he has defensive player of the year potential. I mean, really good passer off the bounce and out of the high post. He's really good passer out of the high post. I saw some really good actions from him for guys cutting. If he lands somewhere with a good point guard, man, he's going to eat in the pick and roll. You put him with a point guard that can really pass the ball, man. He can really get to the basket and finish. But I think improvement-wise, one negative that I will say about him, I think he settles too much. He has a little floater that he goes to, and instead of going all the way to the basket and finishing strong, as big as strong as he is, he can finish more at the rim. You'd like to see him finish more at the rim. A lot of times he settles for that little floater, and I wish he'd go to the rim more, because you look at his numbers. He's not really great off the bounce, off the drive. He was only 19 to 66, 28.8%. on drives, and he also has a 19.6% turnover rate when driving. So he's not really good when driving to the basket. Again, he usually just stops for that little pull up. He just doesn't attack the rim the way that I think he could. That's something that I think can be coached. I mean, if you tell him that man, you big and strong, man, go up and finish at the rim, I think he'll start doing that more. But that's something that I noticed. I mean, it's kind of tic-tacking for him, because I mean, he does so many things well. Just if you're trying to find something negative, needs to be better at attacking closeouts. He doesn't do a really good job of that. Only shot 15 of 49, I think, what I wrote down here, 30.6% on pull-up jumpers. And he's also not great in one-on-one face-up situations. I think that's something that he needs to improve on. But, man, defensively, I think he's probably, I want to say, the best defender in this draft. Definitely has the highest defensive IQ. I don't think there's any question about that. And that's something that's definitely going to translate. You don't have to worry about him on the defensive end. He does some good things on offense. I would just like to see him finish stronger at the rim. That's something that you don't see him do a lot, and I think he has the ability and the strength to do it. You just want to see him do that more. And outside of that, man, he's a really good prospect. And again, man, I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up being a top 3-4 player out of this draft when things are all said and done. He has that type of talent, and I just don't think they allowed him to shine enough at Houston on easier end of the floor. I think they could have got higher usage out of him.
Yeah, no doubt that, you know, it's easy to see, like, when we start talking about a guy, you know, and we start pouring on the positives, you know, you can tell that both of us like this guy, and it's because there's so much like, and we hammered on his defensive capabilities. Him finding himself in the right position on defense is not happening by accident. Not that many times. Like,
he's advanced far beyond his age on a defensive end. Like, I wrote that down, man. He's super skilled and just high IQ. He's only 19 years old, man. So it's gonna get better because he's a guy that works hard. So I don't have any doubt that whatever his maximum ceiling is, I think he's going to reach it. I mean, he's elite, again, for a guy on the defense end, because you just don't – you don't see a lot of guys in college play defense the way that he does. That's something that really stands out on film when you watch him. Because you see a lot of guys – there are guys that are really good defenders in college, but they make a lot of mistakes still at times. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Nobody's perfect, but when you watch him on defense, man, 99% of the time, he's exactly where he needs to be. And that's – I just think that's an elite trait that he has, and I think that's going to easily translate.
Yeah, that leads to winning games, man. When you are in the right spot, I think it's going to be an extremely rare occasion that you will see him out of position whenever it comes to defense, because he just – everything that I saw from him was, like, grade A. Like, he was exactly where he needed to be. And even, like, sometimes, like, if he was a fraction late, I wondered, like, there were times I watched, I'm like, okay, he's a little bit late there. And then he blocked the shot, and I'm like, okay, maybe he wasn't late. Maybe that was his timing. Like, that's where he wanted to be in order to block that shot, because there were so many times watching him block shots, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a bucket. And he was a help defender, so he didn't get beat, but he was moving over to help. And he got there. He got there and blocked the shot, or done enough. He closed the gap enough that he made the guys alter the shot. And so, yeah, he's going to be impact guy day one. What's his offensive game going to look like? I think that his ability to pass the ball is going to help him on the offensive end. That's going to open up stuff for him. I don't know that he's ever going to be like a 20-10 guy, but I think that he could easily be like a – 14-10 and 3+ defensive stats night in and night out, because he's just that good on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, and he can knock down a three. I think that's a big positive as well. One thing about him, and I thought he was bigger. He looks bigger than that to me. He's only listed at 6'8", 220. He looks bigger than that. But I like him a lot, man. I think he's a guy that has almost zero bust potential. Like, he's going to be – I think he's elite on the defensive end, even if his offensive game just stinks. You're getting a guy that – which I'm not saying that's going to happen, because I don't think that's going to be the case at all. But he's going to be an elite defensive player. I don't think there's any question about that. And like I said, man, you add all that stuff, I think his offensive game will be good enough. And, again, he's a guy that can knock down a three-point shot. Like, if you leave him open on a catch and shoot, he can knock that shot down. I said 35%. And not low volume. I mean, he shot 101. He was 35 of 101. So that's not super low volume. So he will take those shots. I mean, he'll knock them down. So, and 2 assists a game, which is really good as well. So I like what I saw, man. 7 rebounds. That's not a bad number at all. So yeah, man, he would fit in Detroit. That would be a scary lineup, man. If you're running, you got that front line of it. You got him at the small forward. With Durant and Jalen Duren and James Wiseman, and that's going to cause some problems for some teams, man. That'd be lockdown, especially you got that size with Cade at the point guard position. I mean, all that length, I mean, that's scary to think about.
Yeah, you may lack a little bit of shooting there, but, I would just kind of dreaming stuff up. So
I was going to say real quick, I said that fits the Detroit Pistons kind of moniker, because they've always been known to be in this dirty – defensive type team, and they would definitely fit that. So it fits the city of Detroit. There's no question.
Yep, no doubt. We appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be back, heck, maybe as soon as tomorrow night with some more prospects. We'll see how the timing works out. We're going to try and do it. If we can work out our schedule, we'll be back with another episode. If not by the end of the weekend, for sure, right, Isaac? We can make that happen before the end of the weekend. Another episode.
Oh, for sure. Let's go tomorrow night, man. Ready to go.
All right.
Knock them out.
So draft season is in full swing. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, this is one of our favorite times of year. We would love to be, in the conference finals, rooting on the Grizzlies, covering those games. But it is what it is. We get to dive into this, and I am maybe not equally as happy, but I'm pretty happy doing this kind of stuff, because I like spending hours upon hours just lost in basketball film. So you can get the show on Twitter at @EthosGrizzlies. Candace is not with us tonight. She'll be back soon. We'll be doing, when we wrap up this draft coverage, we'll be doing season grades for the Grizzlies players. So stay tuned for that. She's at CandaceH901. I'm at NBADWill21. Isaac's going to let you know where you can find him and get us out of here.
Yeah, man, a lot of basketball junkie, man. Watching film, man, is definitely never mad at that, man. But you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_NBA. That's ISAAC_NBA. Man, we'll be back with 5 new prospects tomorrow night, man. So check us out tonight, man, and we get ready for 5 more prospects tomorrow night as we continue to work our way down the draft board. Man, we're going to try to cover all these guys. That's what we do here at Eat Grizzlies. We're trying to bring you the information, man. Bring the information to the people, man. So make sure you keep it locked. Eat those Grizzlies. And until next time, we're gone.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.